So we have like 300 units.
What we're going to learn tonight is about the month of Nisan. The handout is on that table if you want to take one. I never force anyone, you know, to... Okay. Now, this past Shabbos was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And in fact, this Shabbos had a special status in Halacha. It was called the Shabbos HaChodesh. And that's based on a parasha, which you'll see in the second paragraph here, called HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, Rishon Hu L'Chodshei Hashana. And it literally translates as if this month is the first month of all the months of the year. And the Ramban, in his commentary on this pasuk, he says, Zu Mitzvah Rishona. This is the first mitzvah that we have to sanctify the month. Of all the mitzvahs, you know, we have 613, but this is the first on the list. And therefore, it was given to us in Mitzrayim, even before we left Egypt. And the rest of the Torah, the balance of the Torah, was given at Har Sinai. Rashi, in his very first comment on the Torah itself, says that Omar Rabbi Yitzchok lo hayah tzorech lahaskil es haTorah b'chodesh hazeh lachem. That in truth, God should have started the entire Torah with this mitzvah to sanctify the month of Nisan, because this is the first mitzvah. And Rashi has to justify why the Torah begins with the book of Bereishis and, you know, almost, let's say, another 20% of the book of Shmos. What's that all about? Why not just jump right into the mitzvahs? That was Rashi's question.
Is it the first month or the first new moon?
So what we're going to try to discuss is, what does it mean it's the first month? Again, literally, the Torah describes this month as Rosh Chodeshim. Rosh Chodeshim means the first of the months. Now, well, we can get into it, you know, if we have time. It would seem that the first month of the year would be Tishrei, because that's when the world was created. So what does God mean when he says that Nisan is the first of the months? Now, we have another question here. If you read carefully, it says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. And then it says, Rishon Hu L'Chol HaChodesh HaShana. So why the double language? You know, the Torah is very stingy on ink. Why should the Torah say, this is the first head of all the months, and then it says it's the first month? Is there some nuance of a difference between the first part of the pasuk and the second part? What does the Torah have to add? Rishon Hu L'Chodesh HaShana. So the Ramban notices this question, and he says the following. I'm going to read the text inside, and then try to translate it. It's on the bottom right. It's in, you know, bold dark print. He says, "Tam haChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim." The meaning of this statement that this is the first of the months, Sheyimnu Osi Yisrael Chodesh HaRishon, that when the Jewish nation are counting the months, they should count the month of Nisan as the first of the months. And then the second month, which we call Iyar, is called the second month. And then you get to Sivan, which is the third month. Each month should be counted as either the first, the second, the third, until finally we complete the 12 months of the year. And all this, says Ramban, is in order that we remember the great miracle. We should always be aware of the great miracle of God taking us out of Mitzrayim, and that took place in the month of Nisan. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God, this month of Nisan, when I'm going to take the people out of Mitzrayim, that's the first of the month. And every time we count a month, it's the first, the second, the third, we're always reminding ourselves of that first month, which was the month in which God took us out of Mitzrayim. And that indicates, says the Ramban, the fundamental significance of remembering Yitziat Mitzrayim. There are many different ways in which the Torah tries to remind us, many different mitzvot, where the Torah wants to get from the mitzvah a reminder of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Can you think of any?
What? Say it again.
Different mitzvot that we do in order to remember Yitziat Mitzrayim. So first on a daily basis.
Pesach,
right? What about on a daily basis? How do we remember Yitziat Mitzrayim? Correct. In the davening. The major chunks of the davening, which are all about Yitziat Mitzrayim, especially with regard to Kriyat Shema and the bracha after Kriyat Shema. And that's the mitzvah that's daily called Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim. Then we have the Pesach. But there are many other mitzvahs that are Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim. Kiddush itself that we recite on Friday night is Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim. Many of that tefillot will have Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim. Tefillin. Also, the Torah says when you put on tefillin, you remind yourself Yitzis. But there are many, many mitzvot. And another occasion is the Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh. And by counting all the months to this month, that's also going to remind us of the great miracles of this month. V'alkein ein l'chadoshim shem b'Torah. The Ramban has a very interesting observation, which you can miss. He says, if you take a look in the Torah, not one single time does the Torah give any name to any month. It's always counted by numbers, not by name.
Chodesh Aviv is not considered a name.
Well, Aviv means it's in that period of time, you know, it's in that season, but that's, you know, nobody would call this the Chodesh Aviv. El Yomar b'Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh HaSheni, Chodesh HaShlishi. He quotes a few examples. Vayhi b'Shon HaShenis, b'Chodesh HaSheni, in the second month. Or b'Chodesh HaShvi, when it talks about Rosh Hashanah and the mitzvah of Shofar. He says, therefore, when the Torah says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim, what the Torah is really telling us is to remember Mitzrayim, because that first month is the month of the great miracle of the redemption from Egypt. And he says it's very similar to another mitzvah that we have, a Zochres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. By the way, in English, for example, and this is based on paganism, I mean, it goes back even way back before Christianity, every day of the week has a different name. What names do we have in the Torah for the days of the week? None at all.
Shabbos and
right, and it's all because Zochres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. We count every day as the day after Shabbos. It's the first day after Shabbos, the second day after Shabbos, etc., etc. That's Rishon and Sheni and Shlishi. All this, says the Ramban, is to fulfill the great mitzvah of Zochres Yom HaShabbos, of remembering the Shabbos. And Kmo Chen, he says, so too, the Zechir of Yetzias Mitzrayim is also by counting the months, the first month, the second, etc. These are all the months that are counted to our Geula, to our redemption from Mitzrayim, and it's all part of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Ramban has painted a picture, a beautiful vision, or it's almost an educational method, that we have two parallel mitzvahs. We have a mitzvah of remembering the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Geula from Mitzrayim. We have a miracle of remembering the Shabbos, and they parallel each other. In both cases, the Torah deliberately omits any sort of names. It's only numbers. The numbers of the days of the week, past Shabbos. The numbers of the months of the year, past the month of Yetzias Mitzrayim of Nisan. And this is all part of the structure of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the structure of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. And based on this Ramban, on this thesis, we understand the double language. You remember we were bothered there was certain superfluous words in the pasuk. It says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim, and then it says, Rishon Hu L'Chodesh HaShanah, L'Chol Chodesh HaShanah. What's the double language? You would say that if in the first part of the verse it says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim, it's the head of all the months, then it's clear that it's the first month. Right? Rosh means the first. Says the Rabban, and this you'll see in the middle of the second column, he says, She'ein ha-minyan hazeh l'shana, he says, keep in mind that we're not counting the months of the new year. He says, because if you want to count the months for the new year, he says, T'chilas shnoseinu mitishrei, the new year is identical with Tishrei. And therefore, the Torah says, with regard to Chag HaSukkos, it says, V'chag ha'osif t'kufas hashana, or it says, B'tzeis hashana. All these psukim, all these verses which mention the shana, right, the year, not the chodesh, but rather the year, they refer to the year that starts with Tishrei. Im ken, kishenikra l'chodesh nisan rishon, Ula Tishrei Shvi, he says that why do we call Nisan the first month of the year, and then Tishrei, which is 6 months later, we call the seventh month of the year. Pitro, no, the meaning of it is Rishon LeGeula. It's the first month of the redemption. Ushvi Elam, the seventh month of redemption. And therefore the Torah adds the words, Rishon hu lachem. What does it mean, lachem? He says, Sheinenu Rishon bashana, but rather Rishon lachem. Do you hear the difference? If you're talking about the first month of the year, then from the perspective of the new year, that's Tishrei. And therefore, it wasn't enough that the Torah would say, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. The Torah wanted to emphasize that it's only the first month as far as you are concerned, meaning relative to you meaning to the people of Israel who experienced this great redemption, our forefathers. But as far as relevance or relationship to the year itself, well, then we have to go back to the new year. Then we have to start counting the months according to the new year. So it comes out that Nisan and Tishrei really are both, you know, in the matrix of months, they each have a very special role to play. Tishrei is going to be the first of the year, and Nisan is going to be the first of the month. Now, when the Torah wants to emphasize that Nisan is the first month of the months of the year, it adds the word lachem, and that's the extra part of the verse here. Rishon lachem, L'chod she'ashana. Lachem means for your geula, from your redemption. As far as the year is concerned, that begins with Tishrei. And therefore, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, that Nisan is the first of all the months, because that's the month in which we left Mitzrayim. But don't make a mistake and think that it's Rosh. Don't make a mistake and thinking it's Rosh Hashana. That's the beginning of the year. No. The Torah goes out of its way to tell you, Rishon hu lachem lechad she'ashana. Only as far as the months of the year, for you, because you're counting the months from the month of Geula, then it becomes Rishon, it's the first. But as far as Rosh Hashanah is concerned, the first month of the year, the new year begins with Tishrei. Okay, all this is a bit technical, and hopefully we got by it. But as we go along, we're going to get into the more profound philosophical meaning of the month of Nisan as the Rosh Chodashim, the first of the months, because this is the month of our redemption. Now here, he quotes the Rav Shisa, one of the great masters of Hasidut, who has a very profound comment on our verse that Nisan is called HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. And he says the following. This is a book called Zera Kodesh, and you'll see this at the bottom of the middle column going on to the top of the third column. He says this month is a very special month that holds in it the key to all the other months, meaning for the whole year. What key lies in this month? So you may want to underline on the last line in the middle column, Nisim Niglium. Do you see that phrase? That phrase means changes in the structure of nature, what we call supernatural. These are miracles which violate the natural law of the universe. And in terms of Nisim, of miracles, Nisan, the month of Nisan, is the Rosh Chodashim. It's the first month. But what does it mean, Lachem? So the Zera HaKodesh says Lachem means it's teaching us something which is of the greatest significance. And what is that? That's called Nistar, or otherwise known in the top left column as Nisim Nistarim. You might want to underline those two words. What is Nisim Nistarim? First, we'll translate it literally. These are hidden miracles. So this month, which is the first month for your miracles, that's the month that commemorates the open miracles. Open miracles means the obvious miracles, the miracles that clearly undermine the law of nature, and they are supernatural. That's going to project you into the rest of the months of the year, where you're going to learn about something else. You're going to experience Nisim Nistarim. You're going to appreciate the natural, hidden miracles. Now, what does it mean that there are open miracles which violate the laws of nature and they are certainly supernatural? And then we have the natural miracles which are Nistarim, means they're closed or covered, they're concealed below the surface. Do you anybody want to try to take a stab at that? What does it mean, closed or concealed miracles?
Plural?
No? No, no, no. You're right about Purim, but I'll explain to you why that's not the answer I'm looking for. No. Goes much more profound.
Sun rising?
Excellent. The fact that I wake up in the morning and I can open up my eyes and I can feel my body and I can move my arms and I can walk and I can talk and I can breathe the oxygen. Or as you say, on a more sophisticated level, I can enjoy the sunrise. I remember as a child, when I was approximately 10 years old, my parents took me to Florida. We stayed in a small hotel. It was like an apartment kind of arrangement. And my mother would wake me up sometimes early in the morning to watch the sunrise over the Atlantic Ocean. It was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, I'm talking 50 years later, I can still remember it. You know? But we don't appreciate those miracles because we don't think they're miracles. We're so used to them. We take them for granted. And of course, I wake up in the morning and I breathe and I open my eyes and I see. Yeah, I once read a beautiful essay. I'm a little embarrassed where I found it. It was in Reader's Digest, you know. But it was an essay written by Helen Keller. Helen Keller was an amazing woman. She was both blind and deaf. And she writes what she would do if she had a 7-day period of time in which she could see and hear. I mean, it's just an amazing piece. So we wake up in the morning. I mean, who appreciates that we can open our eyes and see? And we don't call them nisim. We don't call them miracles. But according to the Zerah Kodesh, we'll see that it's based on the Ramban. There are two categories of miracles, and the less significant miracles, they're only a means to an end, are the supernatural miracles, the nisim gluyim. They're only there as a means to an end. Because when we begin to appreciate that God is the master of the universe and He controls nature, then we begin to appreciate everything that happens in our lives. And that even, you know, lifting my arms and breathing oxygen is also a miracle.
You know what the three most watched things in the world are?
Don't know.
One is like watching the sun rise and set.
I thought the Super Bowl game, but yeah, go ahead.
No. Second is soon to be watching the tide coming in and go out.
Uh-huh.
And the third is watching the Zamboni machine clean the ice on the ice hockey rink.
Okay, that's pretty good. Much more down to earth. Yeah.
And they stare at this for 20 minutes going,
right.
So what do you do? Go ahead.
Anyway, so he's saying that why is Nisan,
yes,
in what sense is Nisan the first month of the year? Nisan commemorates these Nisim Gluyim, these unbelievable supernatural miracles that are so obvious to the eye. I mean, the Esser Makis and the Kriyas Yam Suf, I mean, nobody can deny them. But that's meant to project you for the next 11 months in order to appreciate and that's the main agenda here, is to appreciate the Nisim Nistarim. And he says that's what it means when it says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodesh, that the month of Nisan is for you. For you meaning it's meant to convey and penetrate into your heart a very fundamental principle or a way of life, almost, that you should appreciate everything that happens, even within the natural form, as God-given. My Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, used to say that nature is like the Shulchan Aruch of the universe. You know, the Shulchan Aruch tells you what are the rules and regulations about how do you observe and how do you behave. And the world that God created was also given its own set of rules and regulations, its own Shulchan Aruch. And he said that the universe doesn't... There's one difference between our Shulchan Aruch and God's Shulchan Aruch for the universe. The universe doesn't violate the laws of nature. We violate the laws of the Shulchan Aruch. That's our problem. And he goes on to say here that when it says in the Pasuk, Rishon Hu Lachem, what's the extra word, Hu? It could have said Rishon Lachem, it's the first for you. In many other verses in the Torah, it says, it's the first for you. But here he adds the word Hu. And he says, Hu is in third person. Is in third person. Right? It's I, you, and he. H-E, or her, H-E-R. So when you're talking about something that you don't see in front of your eyes, you talk about he or her. So if I'm talking to you, I'll say you. If I'm talking about to your eyes, to you about him, I would say him. So the who is really third person. Third person is something that means you're not seeing that person in front of your eyes. You're talking about him. Hopefully saying good things about him, right? So that's called Hu. So Rishon Hu Lachem means the whole purpose of this first month, the month of Nisan, is to make you appreciate the Hu, that's the Nistar, that's the secret miracles of the universe, which is the daily functioning and the natural law that we live with. Those are miracles. And that's what we have to prove. You know, he quotes an interesting parsha, but again, I don't want to get off on a tangent. He says there's another pasuk in the parsha of Shomrim, of those custodians who are responsible for watching an object, and it says, Asher Yoma Ki Hu Zeh. Again, the Hu is teaching us something about what's called Modu V'Miksas, the extra word Hu. So now, if you're following the text, which I photocopied for you, you'll see a paragraph here on the left column that starts with the word Upirshu Harishonim. And he quotes the early commentators that say that the word Hu teaches us Dover Nistar. Zeh, when you use the word Zeh, that refers to something that's right in front of you. You point and you say, this is it. So when you talk about Hu and talk about Zeh, you're talking about Nistar or you talk about Golui. And therefore, since the word Hu refers to Nistar, that which is concealed, is coming to teach us that when you deny something, let's say you know you have a claim against you and you deny that claim, so you write, you say Hu. Hu is that Nistar, meaning that you're telling me that I owe you money. It's not true. Zeh, here's what I owe you. You know, that's Nigla. So Achodesh HaZeh Lachem, this month is Chodesh HaZeh, it's Zeh, meaning that's this month of Nisan is called Zeh. Zeh means it's Nigla. You can see the miracles of God, the hand of God in front of your eyes. It's undeniable, it's crystal clear. But then we get to the next pasuk, which says, Rishon Hu Lachem. It's not Zeh anymore, but it's Hu. Because Hu means, in third person, you're talking about Nistar. So basically, the month of Nisan is sort of like the projectile, it's the spin-off. You know, all the other months spin off the month of Nisan. Nisan is the month of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That means it's the month of Nisim, of Osos, of Mosim Gluyim. These are outstanding supernatural miracles that are clear to the eye. And that's going to be the first month of the year that teaches you the great power, the omnipotence of God, that He can change nature. He's the author of nature. And then, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim, that this month of Nisan, which is a month of Gilui, meaning of obvious miracles, that's going to be Lochem, that's going to be a revelation that's going to take you into the Lochem mode for the rest of the year, namely to appreciate the hidden miracles, the daily miracles of nature.
So we're going back to the last hour with lessons.
When you say the last hour, you mean
our last session.
Oh, I see what you mean—the peleoids that we discussed.
With the blessings of these natural
miracles,
hidden miracles, that there, you know, there are blessings right. In all those things,
and that's what we're through the blessings. I think Richard said very well. We recognize that they're miracles,
right.
And therefore we want to bless Hashem because of the great miracle. You know. Who says that you put a seed in the ground and it's going to take root and then it's going to produce fruit? I mean, you know, we take this all for granted, but there are a lot of great miracles here, as I said before, the Shulchan Aruch of nature, and we want to appreciate them. So in the last line of page 1, and then you can turn to the other side of your page, he quotes the Ramban. And the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, which is the Parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he says that the tachlis, the purpose of all the miracles that God brought about in Yetzias Mitzrayim, which are supernatural, is in order that we should understand and recognize that all the hidden miracles are also God-given miracles. And that's the quotes in bold print, the language of the Ramban. I always say that the greatest book for Jewish philosophy, from a yid, is the Ramban al Torah. It's unbelievable. It's all the fundamentals are there in the Ramban. And this is one of them. The Ramban says, "Umin anisim agdolim amefursomim," from the spectacular miracles that are mefursomim, meaning they're well recognized, from those, Adam Modeh, a person is meant to recognize, to acknowledge the Nisim HaNistarim, the hidden miracles. And that, he says, is the yisod of the entire Torah. there's nothing more fundamental about our Torah than the belief that everything that happens is divine. It all comes from the divine being. And here the Ramban gets very dramatic about it, very almost extreme. He says, She'ein li adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. A person doesn't have a portion, he doesn't belong to the Torah of Moshe, ad she'namin, until he believes that b'chol dvareinu mikreinu, that everything that happens in our lives, everything that we're able to do to function, it's kulam, they're all nisim, they're all miracles. Don't think it's just minhago shalom, this is just the way life goes on, you know, nature takes its course, you know, you throw a ball and until it runs out of energy it continues flying, it's all built into nature. No, Ein bohem teva. Again, these are three words you should underline here. Ein bohem teva. There's no such thing as nature. And he says, Bein barabim ubein biyochid. I'm not only talking about the community of Israel. You know, somebody might say that as far as the nation is concerned, God is involved and he's super and is divine providence and so on. No. But as far as the yochid, the individual, no. He says, no, it's bein barabim ubein biyochid. Ela im yasa mitzvus yatzlichenu scharo v'im yavro leim yachrisenu oncho akol b'gzeres elyon. He says that all of our lives are all part of a divine scheme, a divine program. Everything is calculated, and if we do the God's mitzvus, we'll enjoy and we'll benefit from them. God bestows upon us goodness and rewards, but if we violate the Torah, then we'll be punished. Now again, not all these punishments will take place in this world. A lot of them are, and most of them probably are postponed until the next world. But the point is that according to the Ramban, this is the most fundamental belief. And if you don't accept this belief, that Teva is really Nes, meaning this, you know, nature equals miracles, because everything comes from God, then if you deny that, he says, Ein lem chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Wow, that's a very heavy claim. You know, the Rambam wrote an entire treatise with the 13 principles of the faith. The Ramban is adding another principle. I call it number 14. So when you sing the Animam, then you have to add another paragraph according to the Ramban. And that is that Kulam Nisan, that everything that happens to us in our life is all a part of a divine scheme, a divine plan. It's all controlled by the great master of the universe. And therefore we see that the purpose of all the mitzvos, and especially this mitzvah of counting Nisan as the first month. Why does the Torah put so much significance on counting Nisan as the first month? The answer is, not only do we count each month, whether it's the second or the third or the fourth according to Nisan, but more than that, we want to remember the miracles of Mitzrayim, and that's going to project us to appreciate that all of nature is really one miracle. And that's the Ramban's line, Shvina Nisim HaGedolim HaMefursomim Adam Moda B'Nisim HaNistorim Shem Yisoda Torah Kula. And that's what it means that Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rishon, and Lachem means to penetrate, you know, to transmit into our hearts this concept of Nisim Nistorim, that all the hidden miracles are also miracles, and everything that happens to us is a great miracle. Now at this point, we're on the bottom right of the second page, and we're going to add a whole new perspective here on the significance of the month of Nisan. And what we're trying to answer is the following question. I'm going to read the question in the original Hebrew. L'shem ma kova HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'sidrei ha'shonim v'chadoshim shnei dvarim asosim zetzeh Rosh Hashanah, which is the first month of the creation, and Nisan, which is the first month of the months of the year. You remember we said before that relative to two concepts, you know, you have like an axis, you have two different pivotal axes. What's the plural of axis? Axi? I don't know. And ax what?
Axes.
Axes. So you have two different axes here. You have one axis of the month of the years and how we calculate the months of the year, which month is first, which is second. And they have another axis, which is the first month of creation, as far as the year itself is concerned. So why did the Torah Why did the Torah operate on these two levels? You know, you have Nisan, which is the first month of the months of the year. You have Tishrei, which is the first month of creation of the world. And the year itself begins with Tishrei, and yet the months of the year begin with Nisan. It sounds so complicated. Why was it necessary? So in order to appreciate this, he says that we're going to look at the Medrash. And this you'll see in the middle column in bold print on the top of the middle column. The Medrash says the following. And, you know, we'll try to explain the Medrash as we go along. I'm just looking at the watch to see if we have time. Okay, good. We still have another 20 minutes. Again, anyone who has to leave, I know that, Richard, you have another commitment. Whenever you have to go, you have to go.
Just Marv.
Okay. So Marv is at 9:30, so we'll be okay. He says, HaChodesh HaZelochem, Hado Dechsiv. You know, the Medrash always takes a pasuk in the Chumash and attaches it to a pasuk in the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. In this case, in Ksuvim and Tilim. That this pasuk, HaChodesh HaZelochem, should be understood in the light of another pasuk. Ashrei HaGoy, Asher Hashem Elokav. How fortunate is that nation that has God as its God, meaning accepts the kingship of God. What's the connection between the two? Mishabachar HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'olamo. Once God chose the people of Israel for his world, Kovabo, he established in the world itself for the benefit of Israel, Rosh Chodeshim Vishanim, the beginning of the months and the beginning of the year. Kishabachar biYaakov uBanav Kovabo Rosh Chodesh El Geula. That, in other words, as far as the universe is concerned, you could count the months according to the year, which would mean from creation. But as far as the people of Israel are concerned, there's the month of redemption, and therefore we're going to have a new counting of months, because relative to Israel, Israel as the redeemed nation is going to have a special month that begins its cycle of redemption, which means the month of Nisan. Shebo Nigalu Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. On this occasion, on this month, the people of Israel were redeemed from Egypt. Ubo, and not only that, Asidim Ligoel. Does anybody know what that means? Asidim Ligoel? No?
In the future. Larry?
Excellent. What does it mean in the future?
Mashiach.
Correct. When Mashiach comes, at the end of days. So now we have a little bit of a secret here. You know, everyone's wondering when Mashiach is going to come. Well, we want Mashiach now, because we're in the month of Nisan. And the Medrash says that in Nisan, Mashiach is going to come. Shenemar, how does the Medrash know such a thing? I mean, you need a, you know, it's a pretty chutzpahdik claim to say that you know which month the Mashiach is going to come in. So he based it on a pasuk at the end of Tanakh. Micha, which is at the very, very end of Tanakh, makes the following statement. He says, Kimei tseischa me'eretz Mitzrayim er'enu neflos. Just like when I took you out of Mitzrayim, I will in the future show you great miracles. Now, what does it mean that just like Yitzias Mitzrayim, I'll show you in the future great miracles? It means in the month of Nisan. What's great about the month of Nisan? So the Medrash tells us another secret. When was Yitzchak Avinu born? I don't know. 12 possibilities. Do you check? You choose whichever one you want. So the Medrash says that Yitzchak was born in the month of Nisan. Okay, now I have another question for you. You remember that when he was about 37 years old, he went on to the Akedah. Well, what month of the year was that? Again, I'll give you 12 choices. And I don't know statistically. It was in the month of Nisan. Okay, you're brilliant.
I see a pattern coming here.
Or Tishrei.
But right now he says Nisan. Maybe we'll get to Tishrei. I don't know.
There may be different with Russia.
Right.
I see a theme.
And then the Medrash goes on and he says, in what month did Yaakov receive the blessings from his father Yitzchak? You guessed that it was in Nisan. Ubo, and in this month, Ramaz Lahem Yisrael Shu Rosh Lahem L'Tshua Shenema Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodesh Hashana. So in this pasuk, which we've been studying in the last half hour, that the pasuk says that this is the first month of the year, it's the first month that's designated for tshuva, for salvation, for redemption. And all this is written in the Midrash. So when the Midrash quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Ashrei Hagoy Asher Hashem Elokav, it wants to prove that we are so lucky, we're so fortunate that God chose us, and God gave us the month of Nisan for the fact that He chose us for redemption, and therefore this month is the month which, in a sense, is the flagstaff. You know, it's the demonstration of our special status as the chosen nation.
Could you say that it's a time when the people became a nation?
Right. The birth of the nation is the month of Nisan. And the ultimate redemption, just like the first one in Mitzrayim, from Mitzrayim, will be in the month of Nisan. So Nisan is the month that really is our banner, you know, that we are the fortunate nation of all the nations.
And the new moon is the setting of the calendar to do all these things moving forward that you need to have. Time is no longer your own.
Oh, I didn't know where you were going. You said two things. I got very excited about the first thing you said, and then you added another thing. So the first thing you said is the lunar calendar, right?
As slaves, there was no time. You were a slave.
So now you're going
now you get first. For redemption, as free people, now you have a calendar to live by.
Excellent, okay. Fine, yeah. Okay, but let's just focus now on creation. Remember, there's another first month of the year, and the first month of the year is Tishrei. And if you take a look at the beginning of the Chumash, it says, "Bereishis bara Elokim es shamayim va'aretz." God created at the beginning of the year; He created the heavens and the earth. And Rashi says, "Bara Elokim v'lo omar bara Hashem." There are two names of God. There's the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's the holiest name of God, and there's another name of God of Elokim. And the pasuk shows when it describes creation the name Elokim. So Rashi quotes a Medrash. Why Elokim? Elokim is called the God of justice. Nature and justice are always one, like mirror images of each other, because nature is law and it tolerates no violation. And justice is also very, very intolerant of violation. Justice means, if you violate the law, you will be punished. There's no compassion. There's no clemency. What was God's original plan? Elokim. In other words, He manifests Himself as the God of law, the God of justice, the God that's going to mete out punishment. That's called Midat Hadin. That's the dimension of divinity which in the original plan was responsible for creation. In Rashi's language, quoting the Medrash, Mitchila, in the original plan, Ola b'machshava, God thought Livroso to create the universe, b'midas hadin, according to the law of justice, strict justice. That's called midas hadin. But v'ra she'ein ola miskayim, God became aware of the fact that the world can't exist on justice. V'hikdim, and therefore He injected Midas HaRachamim into the picture of the compassion, divine compassion, v'shitfa l'midas ha-din, and He made a synthesis between justice, which is din, and compassion, which is called rachamim. And therefore the pasuk says, b'yom asos Hashem Elokim eretz shamayim, that it's on this day that God was both Yudke Vavke and Elokim. He created eretz v'shamayim, the heavens and the earth. Now, obviously, we have to ask a very basic question. What does this mean? That God had an original thought, and then He changed His mind? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. God is omnipotent, He's omniscient, He knows everything. What does it mean He had an original thought? There must be some sort of deeper meaning here, or message here, in the fact that the original plan, as Rashi says, was that God would personify Elokim. You know, He... projects Himself or reveals Himself in creation as Elokim, the God of justice, Midas Adin, and then He realizes, no, that's a no-go. So in order to explain this, He quotes a sefer called the Shem Mishmuel. The Shem Mishmuel was a Hasidish rabbi. His father was very famous, was the Sukkot of a Rebbe. But then He quotes the Aruch Laner. The Aruch Laner, whose name was Ettlinger, he lived in the early 1800s, he was a German Jew. He was not influenced by the Hasidic movement. But they both came up with the same idea. So it's very interesting when you see, you know, two people with different backgrounds entirely, but they came up with the same idea. When exactly was the world created? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah records a fundamental machlokes hatanoim, a controversy between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that God created the world in the month of Tishrei. That's what we're familiar with. All of our liturgy on Rosh Hashanah reflects the sheet of Rabbi Elazar. But Rabbi Yoshua has a different opinion. He believes that the world was created in Nisan. Okay? So now Tosfos says the following. If you look in HaKalir, who's the great liturgist that wrote all our great liturgy, appeared for Geshem on Shmini Atzeres, he says that we hold like Rabbi Eliezer, that B'Tishrei Nivra Olam. But then he adds a few words, and he writes, B'Shal Pesach Yisei Ki Rabbi Yoshua. When it comes to the month of Nisan, he accepts Rabbi Yoshua, that the world was created in Nisan. So how could it be that the same author, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, accepted both opinions that are absolutely exclusive, mutually exclusive? So Rabbi Netam in Tosfos, there in Rosh Hashanah, suggests that Elu V'Elu Divrei L'Kat Kimchaim, that we have to reconcile both opinions. How do we reconcile both opinions? I mean, either she's pregnant or she's not pregnant. when did God create the world? Did he create the world in Nisan or in Tishrei? Says Rabbeinu Tam, Ikal and Meimer, we should suggest that B'Tishrei, in the month of Tishrei, Olah B'Machshav Livros, that was the month in which God thought to create the world. But he waited to create the world until Nisan. So it took him 6 months to prepare for creation. Like, what's going on over here? Do you follow the question?
It's a lot of work.
A lot of work, right. But for God, you know, work goes fast. You know, it's not like Dobie Gillis work. You know what I'm saying? So he says here, based on both the Aruch Laner and the Shem Yishmuel, that what's going on here is that God initially, and this took place in the month of Tishrei, was of the mindset that we should create Midas HaDin, that the world should operate according to the laws of strict justice. But then God saw that the world can't exist, and therefore he injected Midas HaRachamim into the picture, the divine compassion, a flexibility, what I said before, like clemency. So it means, now we're on the third paragraph, the third column here, that when it comes to the month of Tishrei, we're talking about a creation of justice, of Midas HaDin. When we fast forward to the month of Nisan, we're talking about a different kind of creation. It's fundamentally different. It's the creation with the Midah of Chesed. As we said before, the Pasuk testifies in the second chapter of Bereishis of Genesis, it says that God created that the world on that day, Yudke, Vavke, and Elokim, a synthesis of both. And the Baal HaTurim is famous for saying that Bereishis Bara Elokim is referring to Aleph Tishrei, because again, if you take the word Bereishis and you just juggle the letters, right? We used to call it
Scrabble.
What was it called? Anyway,
Boggle
Scrabble. Oh, that's it. Boggle Scrabble. So if you do Boggle Scrabble with the word Bereishis, you end up with an Aleph and Bit Tishrei, which means in the first day of Tishrei. So Elokim, where it says Bereishis Bara Elokim, which means the justice of God, that's on Aleph Tishrei. But then we get to the month of Nisan. Nisan is all about great miracles. It's all about violating the laws of nature. We're no longer committed to din. On the contrary, God displays in this month of Nisan his rachamim, his compassion for the sake of the people of Israel. He gets off the seat of justice and sits on a different seat in Nisan, and that's the seat of rachamim, of compassion. And all of Nisan and its very essence is about divine compassion. So we, you know, that the zodiac sign for Tishrei is the scales. You know, that scales represent judgment. Even today, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the scales is still a classic symbol of law. Am I right?
Scales of justice.
scales of justice. So that's the month of Tishrei. I think in English it's called Libra or something like
Libra.
That. Libra. But if you get to the month of Nisan, then you're talking about something totally different. That's already Midas HaRachamim. That's not the scales of judgment. That's already a different kind of existence, a different kind of creation. That's the creation of a synthesis, if you will, between justice and compassion. And therefore, if you take a look at the Zohar says an amazing thing, that Misha Ochel Matzos Pelela Pesach, if a person is careful about the mitzvah of matzah on the night of Pesach, then he's able to tap into the midah of rachamim, is ein din sholei alav Rosh Hashanah. 6 months from now, when we get to the month of Rosh Hashanah, of Tishrei, he will not be judged by the scales of harsh judgment, because he already, in a sense, tapped in to the hashpah, to the influence or the power of the month of Nisan, which is represented by the eating of the matzah. And he says the following, that according to the Zohar, if a person is very careful about chametz, that he shouldn't put any chametz into his mouth, he says that then he weakens the yetzer hara, the power of the evil inclination, because chametz is the symbol of the power of the yetzer hara. The yetzer hara is not only the evil inclination, he also represents the satan, the prosecutor who goes up to prosecute against the Jewish people. And we can protect ourselves from that during the month of Nisan. How? By being dedicated to meticulous care about chametz, that we shouldn't allow any bit of chametz into our mouth. So we have both the mitzvah of matzah and the Isur chametz, and both of them give us they project us into the mode or the atmosphere of Nisan as the month of rachamim, so that now God will not prosecute against us, as I said before, 5.5 months later from now, on the day of judgment. And on the bottom of page 2, he quotes the Zohar verbatim.
In the Torah, what it talks
just about, want to see if we should probably open the door here, just so that if we hear that the Dominic
Meyer. The Torah mentions the first of Tishrei. Does it mention its creation at all? Is Rosh Hashanah?
Well, you mean the overlap between judgment and creation? Is that what you're talking about?
But in the Torah, when it talks about Rosh Hashanah,
right,
and what you should do in the first day of the seventh month, does it mention creation at that point?
No.
Okay, so
it's only Chazal that tell us that Rosh Hashanah, which is the holiday of judgment, is also commemorates the holiday of the creation of the world. That's where the Torah Shebaal Peh comes in, to make that link.
So the issue between the two, we're talking about whether creation was in Nisan or Tishrei, is not in the Torah at all.
Correct. You can't really pin the written Torah down to this, and that's why it became such a controversy. The only thing is that Reb Lezer Kalir seems to take both opinions, so Reb Tam says, we're going to try to integrate both opinions together. And we're going to talk about the Midas Hadin, and that's represented by the creation of Tishrei, the month of Tishrei. And then we're going to talk about the month of Nisan, which personifies the creation as Rachamim. And God needs both.
Because otherwise the more basic of it is, why does the year begin in Tishrei?
Right. So he's saying that the world begins in Tishrei in the sense that God, as the God of justice, which is Elohim, he created the world Bereshis. Bereshis means Aleph Tishrei. But there's a sort of like a different kind of creation, or shall we say, an injection of a different mode or a different dimension when he got to Nisan, because he needed to add, for the sake of the continuous existence of the world, the element of Rachamim. So again, what we got to now, we're going to have to take a break now, but at least let's see where we got to. What we got to is an understanding that if we tap into Nisan, so to speak, there's a mystical energy force in Nisan, and that's the power of Midas HaRachamim. And how do we achieve that goal of tapping into that energy force? Both by the eating of matzah, and if we're meticulous about avoiding chametz, That gives us a power, so to speak, of Nisan. Nisan now projects a power into our very nefesh, into our very soul, such that now, 6 months down the line, when we'll be standing for judgment, it's going to be a judgment with rachamim. It won't be the prosecution of the, you know, the harsh judgment. So that's what we were able to accomplish at this point. I think we'll take time now to daven Meir. At this point, he quotes the Divrei Cheskel, the Shinova, and he says, the pasuk says, Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh aviv. And what does this mean? Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh aviv. He says the word Hayom is an allusion to Rosh Hashanah, as the pasuk says in Iyov, Vayhi Hayom vayavo b'nei Elokim l'tyatzev al Hashem vayavo gam asotam b'tocham. And we understand that the word Vayhi Hayom is a reference to Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin, that the Satan is coming to be mekatreg and prosecute against the world. So when it says Hayom atem yotzim, what it means is that for Rosh Hashanah atem yotzim b'dimus min adin, b'chodesh ha'ovim b'zchus achilas ha'matzos b'chodesh nisan b'pesach. So we'll be able to succeed in the judgment on Rosh Hashanah. We'll be victorious in din as a result of the fact that we have the zchus of achilas matzah during the month of Nisan. So when Rashi says at the beginning of the Torah that Ra Kodesh Baruch Hu She'ena Olam Miskayim B'midas Adin of the month of Tishrei, it says Hikdim Midas Arachamim V'Shitfal Midas Adin. Notice when Kodesh Baruch Hu realized that the world would not exist, couldn't continue to exist on Midas Adin of the month of Tishrei, and Kodesh Baruch Hu now judges the world based on Din, and he realizes that it's not, you know, no one's going to really make it, so to speak, is Hikdim Midas Arachamim. In other words, in the Seder HaKadoshim of the months, you know, the order of the months, is Hikdim Eschodesh Nisan Lifnei Chodesh Tishrei. And that's the Shitful Midas Hadin, the Shituf here, the partnership, the integration of Chodesh Nisan as the first of the months of the year with Chodesh Tishrei as the first of the year, the first month of the year, means that we have a Midas HaRachmim of Nisan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Nisan a certain preference, that it should come first in the months of the year, so that that this will give us a, you know, a shot, so to speak, or an extra merit for by eating the matzahs of being zochet later on in the month of Tishrei in the Midah of Din. So what Rashi means when he says "Biyoma asos Hashem Elokim Eretz v'Shemayim Yudke Vavke and Elokim," so it means that in each one of the Yud Beis Chadashim of the month, there's one or the other tziruf of the Yud Beis different organizations or combinations of the name Yudke Vavke, and the month of Nisan is Yudke Vavke. And that's the Yosher Ayotze Miroshe Tevis Apostle Yismuchu Ashamayim Esogil Oretz. So we have the Roshei Tevis of Yismuchu Ashamayim Yudke Vavke Esogil Oretz, and that's a reference to Chodesh Nisan, that's the Yudke Vavke. And when the Apostle says, Biyom Asos Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makdim to create the world with the Chodesh Nisan, okay, with the Chodesh of Nisan, which is the Chodesh of the Tziruf of Shem Yudke Vavke. So before God sits Kaviyochol on the judgment, the Kisei of Mishpat in the month of Tishrei, which is Midas Adin Shem Elokim, first He gives us the Hakdama of Chodesh Nisan with the Tziruf of Yudke Vavke, and that's where the Medrash brings a pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the month of Nisan for the Geul of Klal Yisrael, as it says, Ashrei HaGoy Asher HaShem Elokav that first it says Yudke Vavke, and then Elokov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makdim the Geula of Yisrael with the name of Yudke Vavke, the Mid of Rachamim, in the month of Nisan. That's the time of Rachman. That emanates from the name of Hashem Yudke Vavke, and that's before the month of Tishrei, which is the Zman of Din, and it's generated and personifies the name Elokim. And if that be the case, when it says in the Piyut, this is the Musaf for Parshas HaChodesh, in the section for Machai Mesim, it says, Es Chodesh Nisan, HaChodesh Asher Yeshuos Bo Makifos. So if you look in one of the commentaries from the Abdur Rav, the Oiv Yisrael, the Yalkov of Yisrael, you'll find something similar to Shem Yishmuel. The Pirush here, in the name of the earlier Hasidic giants, is based on the Mishnah in the third parak of Oz, HaChanus Psucha VaChenvoni Makif, meaning the Chenvoni is selling to a Lokech Balva, notice the buyer is not paying up front, he's selling it to him on credit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out of Mitzrayim in the month of Nisan, in the Schus that ultimately we will accept the Torah at Har Sinai. And this is something that God revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at the Maaseh Sinai, Shmos Per Gimel. Potziachas ha'am imitzrayim ta'avdun es elokim al ha'ar hazeh. And Rashi interprets it, asidim l'kabal ha'torah al ha'ar hazeh l'sof gimel chadoshim shiyotzu imitzrayim. So ha'chodesh asher yeshuos bo makifos, that means that mamshichim in ha'shamayim l'yisrael yeshuos b'halva, it's all on credit, and all the yeshuos of Yitzis Mitzrayim are on credit. Al Shem Ashasidim Lutaken, that we will fix it all up when we accept the Torah at Har Sinai. And the month of Nisan is a month in which we could ask Hashem that He should bring down Yamshich Lanu Yeshuos Begolus Belva Me'agula Al Sida, you know, borrowing from our ultimate merits at the time of the ultimate redemption. And we're asking that Hashem, even now, even before we get to the ultimate Geula, should give us Yeshua and save us from the Golus. And he says that that's what it means, Vishivisi Hashem Lekrosi. And this is again a Bakosh for Leil Shabbos Kodesh after Shalom Aleichem. It says, Vishivisi Hashem Lekrosi, Sheterachameni Od Begolusi Legoleni. That we be mispal to Hashem, that He should have Rachmanis on us while we're still in the Golus, to bring down the Nisim and Iflos from the Asid, from the Geula, and bring it down now prematurely, so to speak, be makdim and give it to us on credit. And that's when in Musaf Rosh Chodesh the Paitan says, Hine zeb bo lefrakim, zamon wa zamun ligaol ritzutzim mi'arakim, which means that the Melech Mashiach is going to come Lizmanim, and we're ready, you know, it's for the preparation for the Geul of Yisrael, who are Ritzutzim, you know, right now they're being subjugated and humiliated by all the hatred of the Goyim. And what does it mean? Hine zeba leprakim, and it means that the Mashiach bo leprakim, ma'at ma'at, he comes every year, but in little portions, so to speak, in small doses, he comes every year. And that's what it means, Zimun Ligol, or Zomun Ligol Ritzutzim Me'arokim. Notice, even when Yisrael are Ritzutzim Begolus, they're being trampled upon, still like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mamshich, he still brings down his Yeshuas from the Gula Asida. So that again, when the Paitan says about Chodesh Nisan, HaChodesh Asher Yeshuos Bo Makifos, and based on the measures that we mentioned before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the month of Nisan for the Geula of Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, and also for the Geula Sida, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph, B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Asidim Ligoil, that the month of Nisan has, or B'Kolchenu L'Hamshich Yeshuos. I'm not sure if it means that there's a koach in the month of Nisan to be Mamshich Nesuos, Yeshuos, and that's from the Golus Mitzrayim, and also from the Osid the Geula Sida, is HaChodesh Hazeh, HaChodesh Asher Yeshuos Bo Makifos. This is a Chodesh that's Mukaf Yeshis from Mukaf, it surrounded him with Yeshuas from both sides, from the past and from the future. And this is all the tzira from the Shem Yudke Vavke, the Yosher Asholek Bechodesh Nisan. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins at the beginning of Orachaim Siman Hey, it says, "V'chol pam shemaskirin Hashem havaya yechavichu hoya hove v'yeh." And that means because in front of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Omer and the Osid, everything is equal. All three dimensions, past, present, and future. So therefore, the tziruf of Yosher is shayach to Chodesh Nisan as a remez that you can be mamshit the whole year. Shehu hove. Yeshua's mina avar shu haya u mina osit shu yeh. And now we'll understand why the pasuk says regarding to the shevach, the praise of the milus of Chodesh Nisan, it says kineged geulas mitzrayim and geulas sida, it says tchila chachodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadashim, and the meaning of that is that it's a rosh, it's the first of all the months of the year because of the Gula Mitzrayim, and that's what it means, hazeh. Hazeh is b'loshen nochach v'gilui, something that I point to and I can see, because Gula's Mitzrayim was li'eni kol Yisrael, was revealed. And as far as the Gula Sid is concerned, which is right now concealed, no one sees it, no one knows, is that's rishon hu lachem l'chodesh hashana. And the extra word who, as we said before, in third person is an allusion to the concealed nature of the Gula Sida. Okay, Rabbi Osai, again we finished most of our discussion about Chodesh Nisan. We still have another I would say probably another maybe 20 minutes or so. And we'll see where and when and how we can sort of fit this in. But in the meantime, we're going to stop here. And in Mirtz Shem, we should be zocha not only to the Midas HaRachamim of this month of Nisan, but we should be zocha to see in our time that Asidim Ligoel, the ultimate Ge'ula, and the Yeshuos of this month. And we should be zochet to see that b'mheirav yameinu amen.